It's your last chance to see Twelfth Night at Center Stage. Joining me is the director of the play, Gavin Witt. It's always nice to see you.
It's great to be here, Jonathan.
This is a play which I've always found has this beautiful mixture of darkness and light in it. And I think your production really brings that out in a very intriguing way. Bad things happen to people, good things happen to people. And as the end of the play says, the whirligig of time brings its revenges, I guess.
That's right. Well, no, I agree. And thank you. I've always found it the same. It's such a sophisticated mixture of those things. I think we see another playwright truly at the height of his powers. And it was important to me to honor that life and longing and love have real consequence. They sting as they evolve, as they come by, and it doesn't work out for everybody in the play. And even those for whom it does, for instance, Toby and Mariah, you have to wonder.
He's a committed drunk,
and what is that going to be like? So it's got all of that in it.
How long have you been thinking about doing Twelfth Night?
Well, Kwame announced that we would be doing it about a year ago,
but I
was sharing with you, I found a copy of it from 1984 with my notes in it, so I suppose I've been chewing on it for decades at this point, and have had wonderful chances to encounter in different ways, and have been formulating an idea about it for a long time.
So you've set this in the 1930s, and you've set it sort of as a cinematic play in many ways, inspired by a lot of the films of that time.
I chose 1938, spring of 1938, although generally 30s. We weren't too overly specific with that. But something between the Spanish Civil War and the invasion of Poland, things were getting a little dodgy in Europe. I was particularly inspired by Hitchcock, The 39 Steps, and The Lady Vanishes, and the sort of the invention of the romantic thriller. But films like Pepe Lomoco and Algiers, Casablanca, and the wonderful screwball comedies of Preston Sturges as well. But there's something about leaving it in the Balkans, where Shakespeare allegedly set it initially, some fantasy version of the Balkans. Two things about that really spoke to me. One was the kind of geographical specificity and thinking about the way that crossroads of cultures, the long Ottoman occupation in this sort of east-west crossroads played out. But also that in that period, in the 30s, the fascination with spies and intrigue and danger gave a great backdrop. And then the cinematic part for me is an equivalent, the way in which Shakespeare was alluding to a kind of theatrical fantasy of this unknown, slightly magical Illyria, the place at the edge of the map, seemed to me very reminiscent of the way that Hollywood represented the exotic. It's not a literal Balkans, but a very theatrical Hollywood version of it.
Well, and I think just as you have the Turkish element of society meeting the European element of society, you have comedy meeting drama, you have a real fantasy-eclat sort of feeling. This whole world is going to cease to exist very, very soon. This is sort of like the last days of sort of this resort in many ways. You know,
Come
World War II, all of this is gone. And after that, come communism, all of that is gone.
That's right. It's the last days of summer before the autumn is coming. And that's influenced for me out of the text, this idea that the play ends with such a sense of longing and time passing, the rain it raineth every day. Mm-hmm. Even Feste's first song, then come kiss me, sweet and twenty, youths of stuff will not endure. This idea of the moment passing by, of that crossroads, gender is fluid, identity is fluid in it. The music we tried to have be kind of a synthesis of the, what I call the Euro aspirational world of Orsino listening to Edith Piaf, and the kind of more folkloric Balkan music that Olivia's court is influenced by. But even thinking about, again, the translation of time, that when Malvolio says at the end, I'll be revenged on the whole pack of you, and we've known him as a Puritan, the historical irony for me of knowing that decades later, he got his revenge. The Puritans came and shut the theaters down in England, though Shakespeare couldn't have known that. He gets that here, this person, for me, influenced by the sort of neo-fascist ideology that he is, this kind of restraint. He gets his revenge on, you know, Europe. That Europe that existed in 1938 vanished 2 years later. It was gone. And there's something about this play that celebrates all that wonderful youthful ardor and love and discovery of one another, but also doesn't shy away from the cost and the risk and the danger and the consequence.
All of this being said, you have to have a great reading of the play, and you have to have actors who can really read the play. And I thought they really did a beautiful job with interpreting these lines in sometimes really unique ways and special ways and different ways, and really using those words to the best of their advantage, both respecting them, but also not looking them at at them as some sort of, you know, Brahma sacred cow that you can't do. Oh my gosh, we've been saying this since 16 whatever. Now we can't change this punctuation now. And I think, you know, it all starts with a good reading of the text, which I think you really had, which I really enjoyed a lot.
Well, thank you. I'm glad. And that is credit to an enormous number of people, including our voice and text person and the company of actors and a lot of smart people in the room, without whom obviously you can't make this. But I think it's right. It's something I invited them into and that they willingly celebrated, I think, which is a combination of irreverence and respect.
Mm.
Wonderfully, many people have said long before me that with Shakespeare, you have to treat it almost like it's a new play. And that includes a respect for the premise of the playwright, that maybe he knew what he was doing, but also that it's a living, breathing text, and it can't be treated as a kind of holy ritual to be up there. It is still alive. He inscribed with such acute accuracy and observation the patterns of thought in action. And if you look at the text, the way he manages to write, the immediacy of people thinking in the moment and changing their mind and discovering new ideas halfway through a sentence, as we do, having the kind of fluidity of emotional response, is so brilliant. I wanted the actors to be able to sort of live on that urgent immediacy.
Yeah. Not an easy thing to do, but well done. Gavin Wood is the director of Twelfth Night, or What You Will, at Center Stage. And it is Or What You Will.
Or
very
What We
much.
Did, anyway.
Or What You Did, exactly. Well, great job. I enjoyed it very much. And it's at Center Stage till Sunday. Thanks
Hope
for talking to us.
Thanks, Jonathan.
If you'd like more information about Twelfth Night at Center Stage, you can give them a call at 410-332-0033, or you can find Center Stage online at centerstage.org.